the Hebrew Order of David is one of our community's oldest and most established global outreach organizations. Join Stan Claff for the next hour as he explores the issues facing the men in the community. The HOD Hour is a fundraising initiative for the HOD. Welcome to the HOD Hour with Stan Claff. This is the HOD Hour with Stan Claff.
And I'm Stan Claff, and this is the HOD Hour, the Hebrew Order of David International. On the eve of Tisha B'Av, when we mourn the destruction of the temples, over the last few days, foxes have been seen on the Temple Mount. This is a prophetic, Talmudic prediction that the return of the foxes to the Temple Mount will signify the return of Jerusalem to its former glory. Rabbi Goldman has told me today that the Talmudic prophecy is valid, but he makes no comment as to whether Jerusalem will be returning to its former glory. And are we to hope? Are we to pray? That's what you're going to do over the weekend, being Tisha B'Av. And talking about Jerusalem, I have as my guest Eli Seliger from the Zichron Menachem organization, which is an organization based in Jerusalem, which supports children and families who suffer from cancer. Welcome, Eli.
Hi.
Eli Seliger, championing the cause of Zichron Menachem in London and being part of the establishment of Zichron Menachem. Give us a bit of background to Zichron Menachem, a very important organization and very well thought of around the world, with offices in the United Kingdom, in the United States, and of course in Israel. So tell us about it.
Right. Thank you for inviting me to talk to you. I've been volunteering with Zichron Menachem for the last 17 years. Zichron Menachem was established nearly 30 years ago by Chaim and Mary Ehrenthal, who unfortunately lost their child at the age of 15, who was dealing with the trauma of cancer for 14 years. They realized while they were going through this trauma, what wasn't around, the lack of support, the lack of understanding. And they created a positive from a negative. From their experience, they saw what was necessary and decided to help others. Today, we have a day center in Jerusalem near Sharon Tzedek Hospital, where we offer both the children, the patients, to come in the morning. They get helped with their homework. They get helped with extra activities. We have a music room, actually three of them. We have a photography lab. We do arts and crafts. Effectively, where kids can't go to school, they're in a controlled environment, and we look after them there in the afternoon. We offer a support service for siblings, of where the children come to the day center. They're helped with their homework. Again, offered all the activities that we offer the sick children. Today we actually even have a kollel program, which helps or learns with kids that the parents aren't well. So that way the child doesn't fall back. He doesn't lose time not having a father or mother at home, where he needs to go over his chumash or whatever it may be. He is able to learn with one of our avreichim, and they basically are running a big brother program for these kids, learning with them, taking them out, helping them. What we quite unique.
So hold on, Eli, you're giving too much information to to people around the world who take a little time to absorb it all. So let's go back a little bit to the beginning. I'm sorry to interrupt your flow, because there's so much to be told. And I mean, your description is very eloquent, but I think it's not doing full justice, if you don't mind my saying so, to the actual impact and the work that is done by the Zichron Menachem. So let me just paint a little picture. So, Menachem is the son of Chaim and Mary Ehrenthal. He developed cancer at the age of 2, and for 13 years he lived with it, and the family lived with it. They found that they could have no support, it was very difficult and they were really struggling. So Zichron Menachem is remembering Menachem, and they formed this organization, and I know that they've dedicated their lives to this organization. And from small beginnings, from humble beginnings, they've built an organization which is really of substance. And I've been there, and there's a building in Jerusalem, as you said, and it houses a large kitchen. It houses kids there with all different types of activities, and the way that it's been set up is that parents of the children know that their kids are in good hands. These are kids aged from anyone under 25. Am I correct?
That's right.
With cancer, and who are sufferers. And, of course, I suppose parents faced with this kind of, it's bad enough for adults to get cancer, but kids faced with cancer already don't know what they're in for. And certainly the parents must have a terrible time bringing these kids up. So how did they build this Zichron Menachem into an organization with all the trappings of really a home from home? Because that's what this place is for these kids.
Yeah, it's, I believe, because of the will and the desire and the love of what they're doing, Chaim and Miri. Chaim, I call him a dreamer by day. Many other people dream by night. He's always looking what he can do better to try and make these kids, give these kids an enhanced life, a life of care, a life of importance. And not only are we looking after the patient, but we're looking after the families. And that's really where Zichron Menachem comes in. As you said, we've got a beautiful kitchen. One of the things that we do is we don't actually have not only set up the center, but we actually go and offer the transport. So it's a matter of saying, all right, you want to come to us? We'll pick you up and we'll take you back home. Every night, the kids are given a full supper. So making sure that they're eating well, that they're fed well, and helped with their homework. So really to keep the families going, and very often due to the fact that there's trauma in the family, parents are pulled between the hospital and home, other children are neglected. Here we're trying to step in and trying to help those children.
And this building is known as the House of Dreams. To me, it should be called the House of Beyond Your Dreams, because what they've set up here and what a kid gets when he is involved with the organization and the kind of care and attention that is lavished on these children, deservedly so. But even so, in a society today where mostly people are forgotten, you have to fend for yourselves. Here is an organization doing so much good for so many people. I don't know what numbers are involved on a daily basis, but this is a large building, purpose built for the purpose of looking after children.
We have an average of 70 kids coming a day.
Right. And these kids are all ages, and they looked after from small to big.
That's right.
You've got staff, full-time staff there. Besides Chaim and Miri.
That's right. We have what we call Sherut Lewumi in Israel, where girls do their army service, the National Army Service, and Zichron Menachem is considered one of the elite opportunities of employing people of Sherut Lewumi. We have over 300 applicants, and we take 15 girls.
And they spend 6 months of the army?
A year.
Spend a year?
Yeah.
Right. So traditionally, young Jewish women go to the army for 2 years?
That's right.
They're spending half of that time looking after in an organization like this. And I've seen them in action in their uniforms carrying out this care of these children, and it brings tears to your eyes, actually.
Yeah, it's very, very special, and it's unbelievable to see these are very special girls, and we have boys also today who volunteer, who are prepared to give up, you know, an exciting part of their time. It's not just a 12-hour job. These kids are devoted. They go to the hospitals. They go to the children's homes. And really, whatever spare time they can, they devote to really making a difference to that child's life, bringing a smile and going all out to do whatever they can. We've just had camp here of where we had last year's Sherut Lewumi girls and the new girls coming in. and to see the excitement, to see the love, to see the devotion to each kid. Doesn't matter whether he was the madrich of the child or another child. It is very, very special to see youngsters today giving of themselves to make a difference to somebody else.
So in this building, you have anything from music rooms to laboratories to rooms where these kids can go for quiet time. I think that also, it looked to me when I was there, that the children, the older children are also playing a role in looking after the younger children. So it is kind of a little family in itself.
Yeah. It's special to see how they interact with each other, and because they've all got this a common problem, how they're able to assist each other and to realize what somebody else is going through and they're going through the same. It does definitely help and encourage one another to support and to try and really help. And it's
these children, are they, they can't go to school, or do they go to school and this is additional to their schooling?
So in the mornings, these are children that can't go to school because of their degree of not being well, not feeling good, or needing to rest in the middle, needing individual time. That's basically what it is. And in the afternoon, this is in Israel, most of the schools finish at 2 o'clock.
Right.
So the parents are busy looking after the other child in hospital or just simply not able to cope with what's going on. So this gives them the opportunity to go out and still be entertained and looked after, that the parents then have got a bit of time to take care of whatever they need, what is generally lacking due to the fact of being so busy with a ill child.
And also parents are working, so that's
parents are working. Many of them, unfortunately, aren't working anymore because of, you know, trying to cope with the situation. So there's a lot of stress at home, and this really relieves a lot of the stress from the point of view that the kid can really come and have a good time. I mean, we spoil them.
Yes, I did notice that. And the kids, you're spoiling the parents in a sense too, because the kid comes home, he's been fed, he's bathed, he's in his pajamas or her pajamas, and they come home, ready to go to bed, and so it takes a lot of stress and energy from the parents would have to expend all that energy, and yeah, they can spend a little bit more time with the child in a much more relaxed environment.
Absolutely.
So okay, so Eli Seliger is a member of the Hebrew Order of David in London, and the Hebrew Order of David in London, the lodges in London, have been involved for a number of years with Zichron Menachem, and every year, I'm not sure if it's every year, every 3 years, a group of consisting of all the kids, support staff, medical, food, et cetera, travel to London and spend a week in London going around and just enjoying themselves and being, seeing another side of life. And one of those days is assisted and run actually by the Hebrew Order of David in London. And so just give us some idea of the logistics involved in this, and also what the order does for them in London, which is, one big day in the life of brethren and members of the Hebrew Order of David in London, and you get a big turnout and big support from the lodges. And give us some paint the picture.
Okay. So, as I said earlier, we've just had a camp now of 250 people. We chartered in a flight, 135 kids with all the support staff, which is 5 doctors, 6 nurses, 2 psychologists, 4 members of security, photographers, videographers, counselors. It was an amazing week of seeing the change of when a child arrived here and how he left. We take them out. We're based in a hotel. We took over most of the hotel. We do all our own catering. So we have, all our doctors, nurses, everybody that comes on the support staff are all volunteering their time. Nobody's paid. We have a chef from the Plaza Hotel, who has trained up our own technical team, producing the food that the kids like, dealing with the different dietary requirements of whatever the kids need. We then take them out every single day to different attractions. We have parties every single night. As you know, generally during the 3 weeks, we're not allowed to listen to music, but due to the fact that we are able to bring simcha and happiness and make a difference to somebody's life, we have the heter, the permission to play music and have special dancing events for the kids. And to see a child that was lying in bed, for the doctor to see that patient that before he left was almost gone, and all of a sudden jumping on his feet, smiling, jumping off a chair, that attracts the doctors to come back every time we do a camp. So this year we have, as you said early on, HOD does a day which we take over an activity place. It's called Stubbers.
I can hear Chaim Erenthal is calling you on your other phone to tell you what you've left out.
We take over the place, and HOD has got involved now for the last, I think it's eight times, I think we have. We've had it. They've been involved in five or six times.
Yes,
where they actually sponsor the day. They bring in all the brethren. It is an amazing uniting day for HOD, where you see so many brethren together with their wives and helping out on the actual day with helping the kids get into line, putting on their life jackets, whatever it may be. Afterwards, at the end of the day, we have a barbecue with different activities. And I can say that this year was the highlight of camp. We had a boy, Yali, age 12, who had given up life. He was on 30 tablets a day. He came here on being fed intravenously. And on Sunday at the barbecue, he asked his madrich, his counselor, "I would like to have some proper food today." Mm. And on that day, he started eating steak. Mm. So for HOD, this is a major achievement to be part of a change in a child's life. This boy had given up. He said he's not interested in living. He's got no purpose to live. We arrived back in Israel on Wednesday morning. They interviewed him, and he said now he wants to live and he's got something to live for. And that was the change of camp. Besides for all the other miracles that we see, besides for all the other children, just having one child coming out like this is worth every single penny and is worth all the effort of bringing 250 people there.
So, and you're saying it's every 3 years. So on the other years that are where you don't come to London, you take them to other countries?
That's right. We have three camps a year. We have a camp at Pesach time. A week before Pesach, when people are all busy, we take the children and we take them to the north of Israel. Then the summer camp is done in Europe, so we alternate between France, Holland, and the UK. And in December, we do a camp at Hanukkah in Eilat. So, yes, we do London every 3 years, but there is a summer camp every year.
And, I mean, the logistics are pretty much the same, because you need to have the full support. You can't take children who are ill without medical support, and it's a big responsibility. So I presume there's no stone left unturned.
No, but that's not really my department in terms of Holland and France. I basically look after the UK camp, and it's enough work to keep me going. As you say, logistics are actually mind-boggling to think. When I actually look at what we managed to achieve and how we do it, as I say, I volunteer for Zichron Menachem, so I have a day job. But what we managed to do and how it goes off is actually quite unbelievable. And we see the hand of God in everything we do. When we arrive here, we don't go through passport control. We don't go through customs. I actually have the buses parked on the tarmac. I have the luggage truck parked on the tarmac. So the kids, within an hour and a half, we've cleared the whole plane and everybody's out of the airport within an hour and a half.
And now, so going back to Jerusalem, so at this House of Dreams, as they call it, I don't know what the Hebrew equivalent of that is, But at the House of Dreams and at this building where this facility, aside from feeding them, which is, I mean, every time we discuss something to do with any Jewish project, it seems that food crops up food. In the middle of it. But I mean, there's far more to it, because there's a magnificent, well-stocked music room with instruments of all variety, from violins, guitars, down to flutes, et cetera. I've seen it, drums, the whole bit. You've got other rooms in there where, and you mentioned some Torah learning and some Hebrew, and I don't suppose Hebrew, but I suppose stuff to do with religion and so on. So tell us a little bit about what goes on and what the purpose is of keeping these people doing stuff like that.
Okay. Just a very important point which I'd like to mention is we are totally open to anybody. In other words, yes, we mentioned the Torah side of it. That's one side of it. But a lot of our patients and families aren't religious. So we are totally non-discriminatory. We don't look at religion at all in terms of what we're doing. We cater. Everything is run from a religious point of view. In other words, from management upwards. But in terms of those that are actually benefiting of our services, it's right across the board. The activities that we do for them is photography, arts and crafts. So let's say when it comes to before Hanukkah, they'll teach. We have a carpentry division of where they'll make a menorah, they'll make a mezuzah case, they'll make different a key holder. Basically, getting them to be active.
Skills. And it teaches them skills.
Skills. Right. We have a greenhouse. So we have a specialist who comes in and talks to them about plants and showing them how to plant and what it means to plant and discusses the whole agricultural side of it. We have a pet corner, which is a pretty new addition to the day center of where the kids come. And as we know, everybody likes to say something and we prefer when somebody doesn't answer you back. We find it a tremendous therapy. When the kids can hold the pets, they talk to them, they feed them, they look after them. So that's very, very popular. We have a hair and beauty salon, which the HOD.
So I want to interrupt you at that point because I have to take a break to pay the rent. If you don't mind, we'll come back. We'll talk about the HOD beauty parlor and all the stuff that's been involved in that. Thank you at the moment. Eli Seliger in Jerusalem. We're going to take a quick break.
This is the HOD Hour with Stan Claff.
And we're back with Eli Seliger from Zichron Menachem. We're talking about the Zichron Menachem home in Jerusalem, and we're talking about the House of Dreams. And Eli Seliger is a member of the Hebrew Order of David, has been involved with Zichron Menachem for many years. He's a volunteer. Although I think it's almost a full-time job. And besides that, he's been somewhat of a fundraiser in getting a beauty salon, which has been sponsored by the Hebrew Order of David Lodges in America and in London. And just give us a bit of talk about that. But before you do, I did mention it to somebody, and they said, well, what do you really need a beauty salon in a home like that? So, but when Eli tells you, you'll understand.
Great. So one of the projects that we do is, unfortunately, when a child or young adult or anybody goes through chemotherapy, they lose their hair. The biggest concern of a young girl when she gets told that she's got cancer and that she's going to go through the therapy, the first question is, what's going to happen to my hair?
Right.
A project that we started a few years ago was actually making wigs for children that are going to lose their hair. Sure. We don't just give them a synthetic wig. We look at the child. We send them to our wig maker prior to them losing their hair. So we measure them. We get the style that they now currently have got with their hairstyle. And we really try and make up that wig before the child loses the hair. So therefore, the phase of where they're losing their hair and where they're getting the wig, people aren't going to be able to recognize that they've actually lost their hair. But comes with the problem with that is that obviously these kids aren't used to all of a sudden wearing a wig. And a wig needs taking care of, and a wig needs care. And that's where we offer them. So instead of having to walk into a stylist or to somebody who's going to look after your hair, going walking there with a drip on your hand, come to us, come to Zichron Menachem, and we'll actually do it for you on the spot. But we have the other angle as well, of where part of the activities that we do in the Zichron Menachem Center, in the day center, is actually teaching these kids beauty and hair therapy, treatment. In other words, we're training them. If you want to be a beauty therapist, you want to know how to paint nails or whatever it takes, or to become a hairstylist, we are actually giving them the lessons in our salon. So it has a double, from both sides, it has a positive angle to it in terms of the patient getting the benefit of not having to go look to have their hair done and getting themselves sorted out. We have it for the mothers that they can come in and relax and have their nails done, have their hair set. So it's the children as well, the families, and as well as the teaching side of it in terms of people, while they're struggling with the illness, at least they can learn something, and eventually that will come possibly their trade that they might want to do in the future.
So basically for a child or young girl, particularly in their teens and getting on a little bit, I mean the eldest ones are going on for 25, but there's a range of them. I'm sure that looking better makes them feel better. So it's also therapeutic.
Absolutely. And then also, because we've got the salon, we promote the hair giving. In other words, where our wigs are all made from genuine human hair. It's not synthetic. So we get famous stars to come in and cut their hair, who have grown their hair. And that's a way of attracting people into the day center as well, to come and see what we're doing and to come closer to Zichron Menachem. Pantene has actually come a very big partner of ours since we've started doing the hair campaign. And now not only do we actually have the hair salon, we're actually manufacturing wigs. They have actually given us money to set up a workshop for actually making the wigs ourselves on site. So it's from there, it basically developed to the next stage.
So the Hebrew Order of David has lodges throughout America. We have 8 lodges in America, 1 in Canada. We have 3 active lodges in London, and that's besides South Africa and Israel. But the lodges got together at your instance, at your behest, to put together this beauty salon in the name of the Hebrew Order of David. But essentially, it needed funding and it needed building, and it was opened last year with some representation from those who had been involved from America and from London. And I'm sure it was a very exciting moment for certainly in the annals of the Hebrew Order of David, but also for the home to have this facility opened and operational.
Yeah, it was very moving and very special. And the beauty was that we took an old janitor's area and converted it. So we basically made use of something that wasn't really that practical, that wasn't really that positive in terms of, yes, one has to have a place for them. But we rehoused them and then built a beautiful salon.
And it's operational and it's running according to plan.
All the time.
And growing. I suppose that the need is growing.
The need is growing, and it's the kids love it. You know, the facility is there and people are making use of it, which is really, really very special. One of the activities that Zichron Menachem has scored in as well is we have a spa. We have a spa that we got also from a charity that I managed to get to sponsor it. And what we do is we barter. As you know, that in Israel, there's a lot of people studying whatever it may be, whether it's physiotherapy, whether it's massage, or whether it's beauty therapy. But in the end, they don't necessarily have a nice welcome venue where they can actually bring their potential clients. So what we do is we say, look, you come and do 3 free haircuts for us, for our kids, or wig styling, and we allow you to use the salon for an hour for your clients. So therefore we barter, we're able to use the salon for our benefit, that they come and give a professional service to our patients, mothers, sisters, whoever it may be. And at the same time, they are able to offer a service to others in a nice salon, which automatically brings people in to see what we do and encourages people to become friends with Zichron Menachem.
So this organization doesn't run without people, and both Chaim and Miri Erenthal have been intimately involved with this right from the beginning. Last year, or the year before that, Miri was given a special honor at the international, was it the International Day in Israel?
And Yom Ha'atzmaut.
At Yom Ha'atzmaut. Sorry, I was going to come to that. Thank you. And she was honored. And if anybody wants to go online, you can look up Miri Erenthal. That's E-H-R-E-N-T-A-L. Why her and not Chaim? Or why not both?
They just had a good question, but they wanted to give it to a religious lady. They nominated a religious lady to light the candle. Why her specifically, I don't know, but I'll add that this year, both of them were nominated for the Pras Yisrael. They got the Humanitarian Prize of Israel. That's given by the president, which is the accolade that one can get in Israel. The highest accolade that one can get from the president.
So having met both Chaim and Miri and been even hosted by Chaim, I was actually privileged to stay in one of the units that you have in the home in Jerusalem, to stay overnight with a friend who was also a member of the Hebrew Ordained, who was traveling with me. We stayed there. They kindly looked after us, fed us more than amply, took us around, even took us to the Kotel. And I noticed that Miri really was in the background. She stayed behind, but Chaim took us around, and a lot of people seemed to know him. He was given entree to places. He's obviously a well-known personality. And having been associated with this, I'm sure people are not aware of how many people or how many kids have been through this facility. And I'm sure that a lot of them passed away because they were really critical or that far advanced. But the survival rate and the number of people who've gone back into society having had this treatment must be amazing.
Yeah. 75% of our patients that come through Zichron Menachem will survive. And a lot of it is due to the encouragement and to really the simcha therapy that Zichron Menachem provides and making a difference to that child, of giving him the light at the end of the tunnel, showing him that there is light, that you can survive. And that's one of the things that we do is when we have camp, for example, we bring children who are just within a year of finishing the illness to encourage other children to face it, to go through with it. And in the end, there is light at the end of the tunnel. So yes, we do have a very positive response. One thing is an amazing thing is when I've attended a few in the past, of where I've been to a wedding of a previous patient.
Right.
And
wow.
Where I've been informed also that now, we just had it now when we had parents camp here, one of the mothers came up to me, one of the grandmothers effectively of a baby that was to be born, came up to me and said, you know, my daughter's expecting a baby. She was with us on camp and she was now expecting a baby. So yes, it's, and Chaim keep in touch. Chaim and Miri keep in touch. They'll go to any invitation, any wedding that they get from a previous patient, they will endeavor to travel 2-3 hours, however long it takes, to make sure that they go there and share a simcha.
Now, when you actually go to a presentation done by Zichron Menachem, and particularly if Chaim talks, or it's a very humbling experience, both from the point of view that these are very humble people. There's no rah-rah and big announcements and everything. It speaks for itself. It's done in such a way that inspires confidence. And it seems to me that having watched how they conduct the place and how they conduct their business, that calming sort of humble way of helping people has got to have an effect on the families and make sure that it's something which, you know, other organizations could aspire to, because they're doers. They've done it and they're doing it. And really, one should really take, you know, I think every accolade and every award that they've received is not really enough. And then I come to you, Ellie. You've been involved, and I don't know why, but this is so close to your heart. I've had many discussions with you, but they all seem to center around Zichron Menachem. And so it's close to your heart. Why?
I just feel that when I met them initially, I felt that these are genuine people. And having been involved with them all the time, you're dealing with people that are malachim. They are angels. They are looking always, what can I do to make a difference to somebody else's life? We have parents camp here. He's running around, a 69-year-old man running around with young parents of 25, 30 years old, making them smile. Have you had a picture? Haven't you had a picture? The love, the devotion.
Abundant energy.
Absolutely. And always looking, it's never enough to say, oh, I've done what I need to do. Now that's where I don't have to do more. Always looking, how can we improve and how can we do more? And that to me obviously gives me the energy and the enthusiasm. I'm very, very close to Chaim and we've done a lot together. And when I joined Zichron Menachem, it was an $850,000, budget. Today we're at $3.5 million. So we're looking for new projects all the time and I enjoy it. I just get a lot of, I always say, if you're going to sell something good. And because of the response that I get in terms of people wanting to get involved when I tell them about it. And yes, I am very enthusiastic and I love what I'm doing and it's very special, but I get a lot more out of it than what I give to them.
And so what do you do in your spare time, like to make a living.
Right. I do property refurbishment.
Right. In London.
In London. But I say, thank God, God looks after me. I don't have any great big aspirations as to, you know, being a multimillionaire. I'm satisfied with what I've got and I see God's hand in what I do and in what I do for Zichron Menachem and what I do personally. So I always tell people, you don't lose by doing chesed, by doing good. You don't lose by doing charity. And he looks after me.
So over the many, many years of being involved with different charities and different organizations, that was my realization and my thinking especially when I visited Zichron Menachem, but when I met Chaim, when I met you and I met Miri, and also the people who work there, they're not self-centered people. They are people who want to give. And if you have a discussion, like we're having a discussion now, we always drift away from the person. We drift into a discussion about Zichron Menachem and what Zichron Menachem does, what it can do, what it intends to do. And for an interviewer, it's a little bit frustrating because I want to know a little bit more about you. But in an organization like this, and to say, trust and honor in organizations like this is critical. And it's one of the few times that you have a feeling that there's a depth of wanting to give and wanting to do that I haven't seen in other organizations. And it's due to people like you are really on the outside looking in, but you're very involved. And like Chaim and Miri and I really say kol hakavod and yishar koach. More times than it's possible to say, because of what I've seen and what you do and the kind of thing that you want to do. And if anybody wants to have a look, go to www.zichronmenachem, and is it .com, I think?
And no, it's www.zichron.org.
Zichron.org. And you can look it up and have a look at what they do, and there's videos to download and there's information, but it scratches the surface. But there's one thing that it says on that website is that if you're ever in the area, they want visitors. And do yourself a favor. If you're in Jerusalem, and look it up, go and have a look at it. Spends a little bit of time there. You will be astonished. And I don't use adjectives too loosely, but it's a most awe-inspiring organization with, led by awe-inspiring people. And Ellie, thank you for taking the time. I know you're a very busy man. Just had a big camp of 250 or 350, I don't know how many people.
250
coming to London, and you had to organize the logistics. You must be exhausted. And thank you for your time, and a good night. I'm going to wish you a good fast on Tisha B'Av, and really well done to you.
Thank you. Thank you for your time, and thank you for inviting me.
Thank you. So this is the Hebrew of David Hour, and just want to talk about a few things. Tomorrow is Women's Day, and it's a day I don't really get, because and I looked at the Jewish Report today. If you go to the Jewish Report, it's devoted to women in all walks of life and for all sorts of reasons and for what they do. And, you know, women are fantastic. They have a huge place in society. But what happens to the other 364 days a year when, are those days for men, or do women feature on a year-round basis? I can't quite get my head around the Me Too movements. I can't get my head around the fact that if you come to the office and you look at somebody askance, a lady askance, you're already a suspect. I think it's time that we, as men, took another look at this whole women thing. They have their place. I think I put them on a pedestal. I think they are wonderful for society, and I go with everything in the Bible of the Ashes Chayil and the women, noble women, and people who are, and women who want to go ahead. If you want to take over the world as women, please go ahead, take it over. I don't mind who runs it. You can't do a worse job than it's being done at the moment. But as far as men are concerned, this is the point that I want to make. The Hebrew Order of David is a fraternity. It's an international fraternity, which means men only. We're an organization that has existed since 1904. We started in South Africa. We grew at our peak. We had 60-odd lodges in South Africa. And almost every family in South Africa was touched in some way by a grandparent, a parent, an uncle, a cousin, all of whom were men. As an organization, we've grown into America, into England, into Canada, and into Israel, where fraternities are well known, particularly in America. And if you want to join an organization, you want to be part of an organization run by men, doing good with men, for men, but not so much only for men, because we work in all forms of activities for all forms of people and all type of people in society. As you heard, we had Eli Seliger from the Zichron Menachem in Israel. But further than that, we do some fantastic work. We have some projects on the way at the moment. If you want to join the Hebrew Order of David, or you want to discuss anything about the Hebrew Order of David, or in a generous society like the community in South Africa, if you just want to donate, please contact us on 011-640-3017, or you can email us at admin@hrdavid.org. Currently, we are running a few big projects. We have Bringing Yontif Joy, which is bringing some joy at Yontif to families and individuals who are less fortunate than ourselves, that don't get the type of thing that you will have on your Yontif table. But we want to try to add a little bit into that. We work together with Kosher Mobile Meals from the Union of Jewish Women. They help us. They assist us in the delivery. We do the collection. We've been emailing and asking for donations, anything from 180 rand, or you can double up or treble or whatever it is, to put something on the table for these people who are really in need of some joy. They do get the foodstuffs. They are assisted in society, but let's do something a little bit more for them. So that's Bringing Yontif Joy. We are launching, or we launched a little while ago, a photographic competition called A Day in the Life of a Jew in South Africa, and more about that in the weeks to come. We hope at the end of that project to put together some sort of a coffee book if all goes well. And we're going to be offering 25,000 rand in prizes. Again, if you want to send in photographs now ahead of time, you can send to photos, photos@hodavid.org. And that's the start of the process. And we're going to be appointing judges and we're going to be running this project. Firstly, we want to try and make money from selling the book, but we also want to put something together of the Hebrew Order of David, not of the Hebrew Order of David, only of the, of Jews in South Africa. And I think that it has worldwide interest because there are people from the, from South Africa living all over the world today. They also form the basis of the lodges that we do have overseas, but we do have a lot of, people who are born and bred in America, England, and Israel, who are also members of this organization. It's, as I said at the beginning, it's a fraternity. It's men only. If you want to get away from home and have a little bit of time with like-minded people doing good in the community, this is the organization for you. It's not for everybody. And yes, we hold women in high regard. But believe it or not, men are quite capable of doing stuff, and the Hebrew Order of David bears testimony to that of the last 115 years. We're going to continue doing it, and just reflect on that over Women's Day as you reflect on Tisha B'Av and your fasting over the on Sunday, and wish you a good Yontav, a good evening, and, of course, good Shabbos. From the Hebrew Order of David International, I'm Stan Clef. Good night.